Well, today I wanted to start out by turning in our Bibles to the book of Matthew. I thought we'd start out in the book of Matthew reading a parable, the parable of the unforgiving servant. And that's in chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, and we'll read verse 21 through 35. The parable of the unforgiving servant. Then Peter came to him and he said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me. I will pay you all.' Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant, when he went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him just 100 denarii, he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, 'Pay me what you owe.' So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you all.' And he would not, but went and threw him in prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, 'You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?' And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due him." Well, how often has this happened to us in our lives? What do we see in this parable? We see how we want God to be patient with us and forgive us when we trespass against him. And then we see how oftentimes we can turn right around and lose our patience with those that trespass against us. We see how hypocritical we can sometimes be when the shoe is on the other foot. So often we quickly lose our patience, and yet we really want and hope for that God will be patient with us. I used this example years ago. I've had this dog, Lucy. She's gone now, but she was a great dog. But she would be out in that yard for days and days, everything would be fine, and then out of the blue, she'd get this idea in her head that she just needed outside the fence. And so away she would go, digging away, and you'd see her out there, go, what is she doing now? She's getting outside the fence again. And I'd get furious, you know, and we'd go get her. She felt bad, you could tell she's coming in, our other dog's just biting at her all the way in the yard, and we're like, yeah, give it to her, because she shouldn't be out there. And that would happen again and again. You know, she'd go for a long period of time, staying in the yard, everything's great. And then back under the fence one day, and you're like, what is wrong with that dog? I just can't stand it. It'd be so frustrating. And then it came to you one day that, you know, how often have I gone outside the fence? And my father has been kind to me and let me back in, and I go before him and pray for forgiveness and say, I'm not going to do that again. Not necessarily my dad. I mean, I'm talking about my father in heaven. When I stray outside the fence, well, yeah, we didn't have a fence at home, But anyhow, and we beg for forgiveness, and we say we're not going to do that again. And then so often we find ourselves in the same routine, doing the same thing we know we shouldn't have been doing. It's a certain attitude we may have, or a certain way we respond to things, and we always find ourselves coming before God so often, praying the same prayer, it seems like. You know, here I am again, I've done it again, and I pray for forgiveness. And we always want God to be patient with us. Well, today I wanted to look at the topic of patience. We'll look at having patience with God, having patience with ourselves, and having patience with each other. I turn to Wikipedia, the free online encyclopedia, for a quick definition of patience. And it says, patience is the state of endurance under difficult circumstances, which can mean persevering in the face of delay or provocation without action on annoyance and anger in a negative way. Or exhibiting forbearance when under strain, especially when faced with long-term difficulties. Patience is the level of endurance one can take before negativity strikes. How long can you stand something before you just have had it. It is also used to refer to the character trait of being steadfast. So the level of endurance one can take before negativity. What is our level of endurance? How much can we take before negativity strikes? I know myself, it's been less and less and less lately. I find myself losing my patience in a lot of areas, more so than I used to. And I notice it happening all around me as well, in the people that I work with, the people that I deal with on a daily basis. And it's just not good. I know the other day I was working with my dad in the garage. We're working on our old Cadillac, and we're bleeding the brakes. And well, we've done this before many, many times. It's kind of a pain, but you know, I've done it many times. But I'm underneath there. Dad's up there pumping the brakes, and I, first of all, can't even find the little thing that I need to put the wrench on, so I gotta get the light. You know, now I finally find the light. Then I got the wrong wrench, and what do you know, there's two different sizes of wrenches, which is weird, but that's frustrating. So I get the right wrench, finally, and I finally get it on there, but you're thinking, who engineered this? You know, why in the world is it so far up here out of the way? I can't even get to it. Frustration building. And then finally, I get the wrench on there. Dad pumps it up. I crack it. It squirts all over me, all, you know, and I'm about ready to throw the wrench. And I just got so frustrated, and I never used to get quite that frustrated, it feels like. And finally, we just had to say, you know what, this is silly, let's stop for the day, and we'll come at it again with a better attitude tomorrow. But I just feel like that happens to me at work so often these days. I'm also the manpower guy these days at work, and so we have all these projects, and I have this perfect little plan to cover all of our bases, have all the guys where I need them, and then Monday morning, somebody calls in sick, or maybe COVID broke out on a job site, and now all these guys that I thought I had have to go home and have to be tested, and we can't use them. And it's just so many things out of my hands that I have no control over, and it's so frustrating. And everyone you're dealing with is so frustrated. They want people on their job site, and just patience these days seems to be really running thin. Perseverance is Strong's Greek word 5281, 5281, which is hupomone. I'm not sure I'm saying that right, but I think so. It's used 32 times in the New Testament, and it's a Greek compound word, a compound word like raincoat, but it's hupomone, which means abide under. And it means to remain, not to recede or flee, but to stay there, to persevere absolutely and emphatically under misfortunes, trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. This is super important with our patience, to hold fast to our faith, to endure, to bear bravely and calmly, absolutely. Other words for patience are endurance, patient continuance, steadfastness, patient waiting for, cheerful endurance, and consistency. In this day and age, we live in a world of instant gratification. You know, we want it right now. We look at TV, for instance. We have on-demand programming. In this way, we don't have to wait for specific shows to come on. We can watch what we want, when we want, and we don't have to wait through all the commercials and all those things. We just control the television. We don't like to have to wait. And it's in this instant gratification world that our patience are really under fire. Patience have really grown short because we're so used to having things just right now when we think that we need them. I like to start out here looking at patience with God, how we have patience with God. Let's turn to Hebrews. We'll start out in Hebrews chapter 6, and I'll read verses 9 through 15 in Hebrews chapter 6, starting in verse 9. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you, yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promise. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no other greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham waited patiently for God to work out his plan. He had all faith that God would do what he said, and he waited patiently for God to fulfill his promise. A lot of times God doesn't do it the way we wish or think that he should do it. Do we lose our patience? You know, Abraham waited and waited. God promised him he'd make him a great nation, and yet he was an old man and didn't even have a son. And then once he did receive a son, he was asked to kill him. But Abraham continued on, knowing that God is ultimately in charge and that his plan is being worked out, and Abraham had incredible faith in that. The world right now is a pretty good testing ground for our patience. Patience are wearing thin all around us. Like I said, the world is in a very volatile point, and we don't see patience on display very often around us. And usually it's quite the opposite. Well, how does that affect us, brethren? I don't think we realize just how much that affects us in our patience. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And we'll read verses 3 and 4. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. We need to remember this, that we build character by going through tough times. By persevering and being patient in difficult circumstances, we build character. God has a reason for everything, like he had with Abraham. We have to always remember that, just as Abraham did. In James chapter 1, I'll read James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. We've read this scripture so many times. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. I keep going here. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Now, for patience to have her perfect work, what does it mean by that? It doesn't mean that you just go on forever in this trial that is just going to last forever. What it means is that you understand and you go through it. You understand the big picture and you go through it with that perspective. How are we going to have joy? By my brethren, count it all joy, it says, let patience have her perfect work. It is in that you know you will get through this trial. You know that the ultimate outcome will be, just as Abraham knew what the ultimate outcome was going to be, so let patience have her perfect work. We often want healing right away. In fact, we always want healing right away. It's just something when we get hurt, it's just painful, and we want it over with. And healing takes time. It just, like I crashed my mountain bike a while back, crunched my shoulder, and I mean, that has been an incredibly long healing process. Finally had to have a shot, but healing is something that just takes us, we can't do the things we want to do. It's very frustrating, and we can lose patience with healing, and we want it right now. But our perspective on time and God's is very different. He has a much wider lens of time. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, back to Hebrews. I'll turn to Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll read verse 14, starting in 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need to remember this, that he felt the exact same things that we feel. He went through so much of the same things that we go through, and he endured to the end for the joy that was set before him. God knows what he's doing, and he will work all things out in his perfect time, and we have to be patient. We have to be patient with God. We also need to be patient with others. When tests come along, how do we handle them? Do we keep our eyes on the joy that's set before us, or do we focus inwardly on ourselves and how hard it is, and maybe that it isn't even fair? I was thinking about this the other day when I was on my bicycle early in the morning. I was doing a training ride on this program, Zwift. And Zwift is a virtual reality, basically computerized bike ride that I go on. And my bicycle is on a trainer hooked up to the TV, and it controls my bike. So it might take my back wheel off, put the chain around this compy trainer, and then it controls it. So I decided to do a workout. You can just do free rides. You can ride along with other people. But I picked a workout, and so the bike actually controls you in this workout. And of course, I'm up at about 3:45 because I have to get on my bike at 4 o'clock so I can get my workout in, stop sweating, and get to work by 6. But anyhow, so basically you're dead asleep. Just stagger down there, get onto the bike, and hit that workout button, and away I went. Well, it warms you up for a little while. It slowly starts picking up the wattage, and it gets your heart rate up, gets you woken up, and then it lets you recover a little bit, and then it hit you with a couple of quick bursts, you know, to get your heart rate back up again. And then it hit me with these 2 10-minute threshold power, which is basically all you can handle for 10 minutes. And I'd been pedaling along, still waking up, and then bang, this thing hit, and I was just like, there's no way I'm going to make 10 minutes. Not only that, but you're supposed to do a 5-minute break and then do the whole 10 minutes again. And in my mind, they're like, this is impossible. There's no way that I can do this. And I was focusing on how hard it was and how much my legs were burning and how hot I was. And I was sleepy. And I'm watching my heart rate increase. And I was just very uncomfortable. And I didn't like it. And I almost hit the stop button and said, forget it. You know, I'm just going to do a ride this morning because this is ridiculous. But then I felt like that was really going to be giving up. So I started to think about the basics. Go back to the basics. How was my posture? I started doing what they call a little systems check. So is my back straight? Am I engaging my core, which is taking the pressure off your arms? And so often you're hunched over and you're putting all this pressure on your arms. But you need to use your core, sit up, take the pressure off your arms, take the pressure off of your hands, your neck, your face even. You want to control, relax your face. And you want to pay attention to your pedal stroke. How am I making smooth circles with my pedals, or is I just crushing it and only using part of the pedal stroke? Because sometimes when you're lazy and you're really tired, you'll just strictly be pushing and you'll find yourself actually moving around a lot. Well, that's very inefficient. And so you want to be solid and think about making circles with your feet. And you actually end up feeling like you're sliding back and forth because you're lifting up with your foot, pushing forward, putting back down instead of just crushing it. So you have this whole systems check that you go back to and start thinking about exactly what I was doing. Well, and I broke it down and concentrated on how best to get through this. And I looked again and my heart rate had leveled off. In fact, it had gone down a couple of beats per minute. And I was already halfway through the first interval. So maybe I could make it. I had taken a little time to adjust to this new pressure, or this new normal, as we heard, from the increased wattage. But I went back to the basics and back to what I knew to do, and I worked through it. And you do the same thing when you're out running. For instance, in Bloomsday, you come to that big Doomsday Hill here in Spokane. And you see that hill coming for a while, and you're actually you go past Spokane Falls Community College, and then you start a little downhill, and you see that thing, and you go across the bridge, you're cruising along, you feel pretty good, pace is doing well, then you turn that corner, and it hits. It hits like that wattage that hit at your threshold, and it just feels like, you know, you just come to a stop, it feels like. Well, you have to break it down again. You have to put your head down and focus on the basics. Shorten your stride, turn it over a little quicker, keep your breathing in check, and then you pay attention to the things that you control, like relaxing your arms, relaxing your hands, your shoulders, your neck, and you think about your face too, because a lot of times you're grimacing because it's hurting, and you just need to relax everything that you can relax and control. And every now and then, just look up and see where you are, and then back down and keep working through it. In this life, we know we're going to come upon tough trials. We're going to come upon hills. We're going to come upon tough wattage that's at our threshold. And it isn't always smooth sailing. There are lots of ups and downs. And we know this will increase as we come closer to the end times. Let's turn to Luke 21. Luke chapter 21. And I'll read starting in verse 10. But we'll read, I really want concentrate in verse 19, but we'll start in 21 and verse 10. And then he said to them, nations will rise against nations. This is looking at the end times. Kingdom against kingdom. And there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilence, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogue and prisons. You will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, but it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Therefore, settle in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all of your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. I'm very glad for that. But you will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost, which is also important. But now verse 19, by your patience possess your souls. By your patience possess your souls. How do we do this? I think we go back to focusing on the basics. We check ourselves. We take a look at our armor as we read in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of Satan. When those tough trials come our way, we have to go back to the basics and take a look at our armor. Let's do that. Let's just go back to Ephesians chapter 6. And we'll read about that armor again. We sang about it today. I like Connor's selections. But let's read about that armor that we are to have on in chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done so, stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. That we need to get back to the truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness, looking to the commandments, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, again we read, taking the shield of faith, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Above all, we have to have faith in God. It ties in with patience in God, knowing that whatever we're going through, no matter how hard it gets, it isn't forever. It might be in this physical life, it might seem like forever to us, but we have to have faith in the fantastic future that God has planned for all of us, just like Abraham had faith in that. Let's go back to Hebrews again. I'll read starting in Hebrews chapter 12. We'll just read verse 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 1, or chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We can't worry about ourselves too much. That's exactly what the enemy wants. He wants us to look down, to look at ourselves, to focus on ourselves and feel like the things that are happening to us just aren't fair, and they hurt, and they're too hard. That our problems are just bigger than everyone else's, and other people just don't understand because we're focused on us. But we just can't do that. When it gets difficult, we need to go back to those basics, go back to what we know and what we can control. We must possess our souls with patience. And finally, we have to have patience with each other. Let's go back to Ephesians. We'll go to Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, which is patience, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. So what is the unity of Spirit? Is it agreeing on absolutely everything? Well, let's hope not, because that's absolutely never going to happen in this life. We are never going to agree with one another. Not even in our best friendships, not in our marriages, not in any of our best relationships with anyone, will we absolutely agree on all topics. As long as there are human beings, there will never be total agreement. Yet, we are to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit. So what is the Spirit? We know the fruits of it are love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We are to focus and endeavor to put on these attributes as we interact with each other. If we, friends, relatives, husbands and wives, fathers and sons, mothers and daughters, brethren, always agreed all the time, there wouldn't be any need for patience if we were constantly on the same page. But there is a need. In every one of those relationships, we have to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Is patience as important to us as it really should be? How do we typically respond to things when we relate to one another, especially in disagreements in our lives? What's our habit? What's our typical way that we handle things? Is it agitation and anger, like we heard about? We are all children of wrath. Frustration and stress. What's our proclivity? How do we handle stress in this life? Let's turn to Ecclesiastes. Chapter 7. And we'll start reading in verse 8. We'll read 8 through 10. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Do not hasten in your spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of fools. Do not say, "Why were the former days better than these?" For you do not inquire wisely concerning these things. We shouldn't be dwelling in the past and thinking about how good it was. We have to dwell with what's going on right now in our lives, and we need to continue on in patience. What happens when you run out of patience? We hasten to get angry, right? Patience keeps anger out of our hearts. We can overcome anger with patience. So this is important to remember in dealing with each other. When we feel ourselves getting angry, we need to see it and remember to have patience. It's very easy to say, just, you know, be patient. But it's such a powerful emotion. Like it said, we're all children of wrath. In anger management, it's often taught that when you feel yourself starting to lose control and you become angry, you need to step away from the situation sometimes. Give yourself a few minutes to calm down. You have to take a few deep breaths, maybe count to 10, but just take yourself out of the situation for a minute and regain your perspective and not allow yourself to go to wrath. And that is not easy to do, but it's really part of possessing our souls and patience. We need to be able to do this. James chapter 1. In James chapter 1, verses 19 through 20. We read, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." With patience, we're able to overcome anger, but it takes a concentrated, concerted effort on our part. It's an endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, and an endeavor means the earnest and industrious effort, especially when sustained over a long period of time. It's hard to be patient. It is not easy at all. Let's turn to James chapter 5, and we'll read verse 7 through 11. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the earth, the early and latter rain. You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Just as he is compassionate and merciful to us, we need to be compassionate and merciful to each other. Just as he is patient with us, we need to be patient with each other. We'll turn to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, and we'll read verse 4 and 5. Boy, those eyeballs of mine. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God of patience and comfort. God is very patient with us. We remember that parable of the unforgiving servant, how patient are we with each other? God is so patient with us, how do we react to each other? You'll see this again over in Colossians. If you turn back with me to Colossians chapter 3, and I'll read verses 12 through 14. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, and here again, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. We have to put these things on. They're not there naturally. We don't just come from the factory like this. We don't automatically put those things on. They take effort. We need God's Holy Spirit to help us live this way. And one of the fruits of that Spirit is patience. It takes patience to make it to eternal life. Ultimately, we're enduring patiently for the days to be fulfilled. We're to be living patiently in our daily lives with God, with ourselves, and with each other as followers of Jesus Christ, looking to the examples recorded for us in the Bible of those who came before us. Matthew 10 and verse 22 says, "And you will be hated for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." Brethren, let's just be patient.